to? We gon' talk about everything. Yeah, we gon' talk everything. Speak your mind, cause we gon' speak everything. It's Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. It's Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. All things dealing with sports, wrestling, and music. Politics, everyday life, man, you need it. Cause we gon' speak everything. Speak your mind, cause we gon' talk everything. You're now tuned in to Anthony Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. A hip, fresh, unfiltered perspective from all things dealing with sports, wrestling, music, politics, everyday life. Be blessed. Everything. Speak your mind, cause we gon' speak everything.
Friday, March 13th, 2020, a little over midnight. The officers in plain clothes were part of a drug investigation, so they went to the residence of Breonna Taylor to serve a no-knock warrant for suspected drug dealer Jamarcus Glover, a suspect who never lived at the residence, nor was he there at the time of the raid. Matter of fact, he was already in custody at the time of the raid. Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend Kenneth Walker were in bed watching TV when they heard a bang on the door. They both asked numerous times, "Who is it?" Even to the point where Breonna Taylor screamed at the top of her lungs, "Who is it?" But there was no answer. The officers said they identified themselves, but no one heard them. The officers then proceeded to kick the door down. Once they were inside, Mr. Walker fired off a warning shot, which hit one of the officers. Taylor and Walker thought they were being victims of a home invasion. Once the officer was hit, the other officers let off 30 shots in the dark apartment, 6 hitting Taylor fatally. There are a lot of questions about that night and this case that leave a lot of question marks. The police and media will put out stuff to make you believe what they want you to believe. But I wanted real facts. I wanted to talk to someone who knew the real deal. So I went to Breonna Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, and got some answers. And a lot of questions I had and raised an eyebrow about, she answered and also provided some more questions and eyebrow raising about this case. We need justice for Breonna Taylor. We're going to keep on saying Breonna Taylor's name. Sinise Unfiltered Maniacs, please welcome to the show Tamika Palmer, the mother of Breonna Taylor. How you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm doing okay, doing okay. Trying to get it's freezing here in Florida.
It's freezing here in Kentucky.
My goodness. I moved away from New York to get rid of this.
Oh, God, I can only imagine.
So, like, you know, before we start again, I want to say condolences to you and your family, you know, this horrible tragedy. How are you and your family holding up?
One day at a time. That's really all we can do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, you guys have had a lot of support, you know, through the NBA, the NFL, you know, a lot of entertainers, politicians. How important has and how strong has that support been for you and your family?
It's been amazing just because, you know, they've all used their platforms, you know, just to, A, bring awareness to what happened to Breonna and to make sure that her name stayed in the forefront of things because, you know, we're still fighting for justice. And so it was important to make sure that people were still remembering who she was and why she needed to be talked about.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Describe Breonna to us.
Oh, God. Just, she was fun. She was funny. She was, you know, 26 years old, but she, you know, she was full of life. She had her head on her shoulders. She was a pretty good girl. She worked hard. She loved to help anybody around her. She loved to uplift people. Just everybody loved her. She just was, you know, she was a people pleaser.
And we will keep saying her name and keep her name being known. We need Absolutely. Justice for Breonna. Okay, so Mr. Jamarcus Glover, you know, they had a warrant for his arrest. Supposedly, You know, they're saying that he was sending packages of drugs to Brianna's home. You know, he was also on that night. He was already in custody, correct?
Yes, he. They did a raid prior to ever going to Brianna's, where they had already apprehended him.
Well, that is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, and I know I had asked you this before, but was Brianna's name on the warrant that they supposedly had?
The night that this all happened, the detective told me that her name wasn't on the warrant. He didn't know why, you know, what actually they were there for. He was pretty much there trying to figure out what happened and what went wrong. But then they came up with 5 or 6 other warrants. And then finally, they somehow magically produced one that had her name added to the bottom of it.
So, again, according to these warrants, you know, was it a no-knock warrant?
I actually never saw the warrant itself, because that night that this happened and I asked to see the warrant, no one could find the warrant. They, you know, no one knew where it was. That they said that they would get it to me within a few days. That never happened. And I never really got anything from them, which is why I ended up with attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, for people who don't know, a no-knock warrant is, you know, if there's a suspect they believe is at a residence, a no-knock warrant, they can just go down there and just knock the door down. They don't have to announce themselves or anything like that. You know, again, with these police officers, and especially dealing with our people, whatever they have in their power, you know, they're going to use all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when these officers saying that they announce themselves, but you had a no-knock warrant, so why?
Not only why would you said you'd announce yourself, but 12 other neighbors also said they never heard you not announce yourself. Mm-hmm. They could hear Brianna screaming, "Who is it?" But no, they never heard an officer say, "It's the police."
Wow. And another thing I read, and you're familiar with Sergeant Mattingly. He went on record stating that he thought Brianna was home alone, so that's why they gave her time to come to the door. Now, again, this doesn't make any sense to me, because if you're looking for Jamarcus, who was never lived at that apartment, as you said, he
never
wasn't there, because they just said they thought she was home alone.
Mm-hmm.
So then why would you still go and honor this warrant if that's the case?
Well, I will say these officers have been known to go into, they thought that they were going to go in there and find some money and to keep for themselves, mm-hmm. is my personal opinion. And that's what they've been known to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to show that they never did any real police work, because not only did they state that they thought she was there alone, they never knew who Kenny was. They never knew that my other daughter lived in that apartment, who thankfully wasn't home that night. But they never knew any of those things. So it goes to show that you never did any type of investigation.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, like I said, I have watched my share of live PD cops, you know, the first 48. And I told you, mm-hmm. I have friends who are police officers, who are state troopers. And, you know, if you have a warrant for someone and you're going to go conduct that warrant, and you're thinking that person is there, shouldn't you have at least staked out that area to make sure he was there?
Absolutely.
You know, so that's another one got the ball. And I want you to tell me what you told me the other day about when they saw him in the car and they thought it was a package.
Yes. So they said that on some particular day that they followed Jamarcus, and he picked up a package from Brianna House, which they thought were drugs. So my thing is, and this was supposedly in January, if that was the case, why wouldn't they have pulled him over and searched that package? Because that's your case there.
Exactly.
If you needed a case for him, that was your case. But instead, you wait 2 months later and tell a lie to get a warrant to go over into Brianna's house.
That is just...
And last I checked, if you lie on under oath, that is perjury. So
definitely,
that alone should be reason for prosecution itself.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I saw, especially talking about, you know, the drugs supposedly getting sent to her home. Louisville Postal Inspector Tony Gooden, who's in charge of that area, his post office area. Because, you know, if you're going to the post office, you know, you send the stuff out, it's certain districts that the mail goes to. So it's only going to be, you know, for the post office, one that's going to go to where Brianna lived. And,
yeah,
and he said his office was not part of any inspection on any drug trafficking at all. So if he's the head of it, so he would know if they were doing an investigation or something. He said there was nothing. So how can they sit here and say that there were drugs going to her home?
And that's the lie that they used to obtain the warrant. So, which is the problem. Had they not told that lie to get this warrant, this whole thing would have never occurred. That whole night would have never been there. And and even Madden Lee himself has stated that they really did not need to be at Brianna's house.
Wow.
So it's, you know, it's an unfortunate thing to the, you know, that here we are now having to mourn her, and she should very well be here.
Yeah. So getting into this night, you know, like I said, the three officers came, they stand there and they announced themselves, you know, which we're finding out that definitely probably was not true at all. Okay.
Absolutely.
So Kenny and Brianna were in the bed, you know, relaxing, watching TV, falling asleep. So they hear the bang at the door. So Kenny immediately calls the police. Well, he fires the shot.
Right.
He fires a warning shot. And he thought they were being robbed, the home invasion. So he fired a shot, a warning shot to let them know, hey, you know, you come in here, I got something for you. You know. So then he calls 911 and tells them, you know, somebody just shot my girlfriend. It just broke down.
Kicked their door in.
Yeah,
they
kicked
don't
their
know
door.
And shot her.
Yeah, and my thing is, if you call 911, he's gonna have to give an address to let them know the location. So again, if you're hearing all this, the dispatcher, they should know what's going on that in a precinct. That okay, we had a warrant for this address. Okay, and still, you're shooting the apartment. Okay. Over what, 24 shots, 25 shots it was, I think?
32 shots.
You know, yes. And then Brianna and fatally killing her. Kenny comes out, surrenders, and tells them, listen, my girlfriend's been shot. She's in the house. They did not go in there.
Well, exactly. But first off, not only Kenny had enough time to call his mother, the police, and me. And mind you, I'm the last person Kenny called. So therefore, I've never heard the police. I never know that it's them. You know, there's this silence, this awkward silence, and Kenny's screaming, you know, help. He's screaming for help. Or she, you know, Brianna needs help. Brianna needs help. And so mind you, when he does come out, the officer says to Kenny, are you hit? He said, no. Well, that's unfortunate. And so Kenny studies screaming, well, my girlfriend needs help. My girlfriend needs help. They did not go attempt to help her.
Wow. And like we said, you know, if they would have moved their butts and went in there, maybe they could have saved her.
Exactly. We never know.
Yeah.
She was never given that opportunity.
Yep. And excuse my language, but the insensitive bastards, when they go inside the house, she's done. I mean, how insensitive is that? I mean, that had to make you furious.
Yeah, I was irate. Like, for you to treat her as if, you know, like, oh, yeah, she's done. Like, as if she...
Yeah.
It just was, it's heartbreaking, because to know Brianna, you would know she wasn't that type of person. And to be treated that way, it's just unreal to me.
Yeah, it's a horrible situation. And getting back to Kenny, you know, like I said, that the media likes to portray us a certain way, you know, and every time they showed him, they want to show him with, you know, gold teeth in the mouth, like he was a thug, you know, which, you know, you hearing this guy talk, you can tell that is not what they're trying, how he is not what they're portraying.
Exactly.
You know, he goes to the police station and he was such a threat to the police officers, but yet they had him out of handcuffs and he was walking around the police station.
Even before that, they pulled over on the side of the road,
and yes, that's right.
Another officer comes to the car and, you know, apologizes, like, I'm sorry, this whole thing is just, like, out of control, you know, like, so, you know, at that point, something is wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
Something is wrong, and now, at this point, everybody's scrambling, trying to figure out how to fix it.
Trying to crawl their tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, then they drop the charges on Kenny, which there shouldn't have been charges anyway to begin
with.
But then, like I told you, Louisville Police Union rep Ryan Nichols says that was a slap in the face. No, the slap in the face is these three fucking officers who have not been charged for anything. That's the slap in the face.
Absolutely. The slap in the face that we were still paying these officers for months while they were on administrative reassignment, which is, that was the slap in the face. And that Kenny was even charged to begin with for protecting his home and himself and attempting to protect Brianna. Like, that makes no sense.
So since this tragedy, you know, they came up with Brianna's law that outlaws the no-knock warrants, and they must have body cameras on when they're entering homes. And like we talked about the other day, it's really funny how they did not have the cameras on when all this was going on.
Right. But when they executed the warrant and picked up Jamarcus, there was body cams. But mysteriously, no one had them on when they got to Brianna.
Just another question mark that makes you, you know, what's going on? Okay, so during the summer, you know, we had this tragedy with Brianna. You know, we had Ahmaud Arbery, who we seen get killed by two racist white men for him just walking down the neighborhood. Okay, we see George Floyd get murdered. Okay, so, you know, our people, we were just going nuts. You know, we had enough. And like, we do peaceful protests, we do marches, and we're still getting assaulted by police or getting put in jail. You know, and one thing, you know, I don't condone at all was the rioting and the looting and setting fires. And, you know, not all cops are bad, but, you know, going after innocent cops, you know, going after, you know, innocent Caucasian people on the street. You know, we cannot condone that. And I hate when they see these negative stories, they always want to tie that into Black Lives Matter. But these fools who are doing that are not representing the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay. What would you say to these people who are trying to use your daughter's name but are going out there looting and setting fires and doing ridiculous things?
That it was disrespectful and uncalled for. Because the thing of that is, not only are you tearing up our city now, like, so now we're not able to go downtown and enjoy our city because things are boarded up or they're having to rebuild. And then while you're doing that, you're hurting innocent people, because the people who own those buildings, they're not police officers. They're not down there assaulting people and doing that. So now here you are, now you've hurt them as well. So it doesn't help the community. It didn't help the situation. And it definitely had nothing to do with standing up for Brianna.
You know, just want to be fools. You know, and yes, a few things, absolutely. A few comments I heard, you know, over the last few weeks, especially with the stuff that happened in Capitol Hill a couple of weeks ago, because you can bet your bottom dollar if that was the Black Lives Matter movement going to Capitol Hill and trying to take over, the National Guard would have been there before they even got there. And there would have been more casualties and more people being arrested that day, not a week or a week two later. Exactly.
They would have never made
and
it
I had, you know,
line.
Just one person said that we're not asking you to shoot them like you shoot us. We're asking you not to shoot us like you didn't shoot them. And I think that holds a lot of weight.
Exactly.
You know, and for the people who are saying, you know, we're tired about hearing racism, this and that, this and that. Well, you know what? We're tired of experiencing it daily. You know.
Exactly. It's easy to say you're tired of hearing it when you're not experiencing it. And for us, this is a part of our everyday lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are afraid to be pulled over for a traffic stop because who knows what's going to happen by the end of this.
Yep. A few months ago here in Orlando, I worked third shift. So I was going on break, going to Walmart. And, you know, there's three lanes. So I was in the far right lane. The police officer was in the far left lane turning left. He did a U-turn and sped all the way around to catch up to me on the next street, you know, and I'm thinking like, well, why did you pull me over? He's like, well, the person who's this car, because my wife's car, their license is suspended. But I'm like, but how would you know that? You're not behind me. You were on the side of me. You know, you just saw a nice car in this area and just wanted to pull me over. And it's stuff like that that just, you know, that gets us not wanting to trust police officers. Again, now all.
And not only that, as you said, it was your wife's car. When you knew you wasn't a woman, those are the things daily. That we have to experience on a daily, though. And then you're mad because we're mad. Like, it's tiring, and we continue to die at the hands of these people, and no one is doing. Everybody knows it's wrong, but nobody will do anything about it. And the reason that they're able to continue to do us that way is because they're not being held accountable.
They're not being held accountable, and that's the problem. You know, they sit here and want to say, well, you know, we got to have a better relationship with the police. No, they need to be. It need to be retrained, and how to deal with people. Because to me, I was, you know, talking to my friends who are police officers, and, you know, I was saying that, you know, when you have a Caucasian cop and you're putting him in the hood, right, he's probably not really used to that type of, you know, area. He's going to be on easy all the time. You know, and it may sound like I'm separating it, but I think we need to put more of officers who can relate to that community in those communities rather than people who cannot relate. Just like if you put, you know, a Black officer in one of these deep down south, you know, KK areas, they're going to be on easy on all the time also, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's part of the problem, though. I think that we are having police in these neighborhoods. They don't know anything about the people in these neighborhoods. They don't know how to interact with the people in these neighborhoods. I believe that they need to be, you know, put police in those neighborhoods that are willing to live in those neighborhoods. I think that would definitely help the situation. Give them extra incentives for living in those neighborhoods and getting to know the people in those neighborhoods. I think it'll help a lot when you're dealing with mental health crises. Like, there's just a number of things that should be doing. I think that police should receive, you know, to be a police officer, you get one training and that's it. Now you're forever a police officer. I work in dialysis. I've been a nurse's aide. I know nurses. I know every year we have to do a new training. Every year we have to upgrade our licenses. There's no other additional training for police officers. And the old way of policing is outdated and needs to move on from 100%.
One thing I want to make clear to everyone who's listening to the podcast, there were no drugs found in Brianna's home when they raided it. No drugs, no money.
No drugs, no money.
So as far as how is Mr. Walker doing?
As best as he can, you know, he still has this thing hung over his head where they're saying, oh yeah, we may possibly come back and charge you. And I think it's,
oh, you go right ahead. We're on filter. You say what you got to say.
Yeah. I think it's BS. And then you got this officer suing him. Like, are you serious? Like,
when he shot? Like,
wow. Yes. Mattingly is suing Kenneth. So, you know, it's just stressful. So not only, you know, is he being threatened with his life being taken away for that, he lost the love of his life. And then now this police officer is torturing him with a lawsuit.
And as far as Mr. Glover, does he feel like this is his fault? Like it's all on him, what has happened?
Definitely. He, when they attempted to offer him a plea deal to name Brianna as a accomplice. And that was one of the things he said, like, absolutely not. Like, I feel y'all have already murdered this girl and behind me, and it makes me look bad enough. Why would I lie?
Yeah.
Why would I help you guys? You know, I told you to begin with that you had no business going there. Like, she has nothing to do with anything. And yet they still chose to do it. So
this is horrible. You know, something has to change. You know, hopefully, you know, race relations will change once, you know, Biden gets in office. Because one thing I will say, you know, when Barack was in office, you know, a lot of Caucasian people voted for him. So I felt like we were going in the right direction. People were starting to come together because you're like, man, they voted for a black president. You know what I'm saying? So like, you had to see there was a shift. Everything was starting to go. But Trump has just separated that totally. You know? Yeah, he has no compassion for us at all. You know?
At all, he never should have been there to be.
Damn, so
shouldn't. You know, God looks out for fools and babies.
So, like I was saying, you know, you've had a lot of support, you know, through the NBA, the NFL, a lot of these players, you know, actors, actresses, politicians, and I know you said there's not one that stands out, but has there been? I think maybe one person who used our platform that has helped tremendously to get the message out.
Definitely. I think Cardi B was amazing with keeping Brianna's name out there. LeBron James, he continuously, you know, spoke her name and just made sure that it was being said and that people were paying attention. And so, I mean, like, and I said it before, I mean, I can't say one person did better than any of them because I'm grateful for everyone. But I definitely think that without them, any of them, I don't know that we could have kept her name out there because we as black people tend to move on and forget so easily. So definitely. Grateful for them.
Right now, where does this case stand?
Well, we're still, it's not over. We're still fighting. We're trying to get a new prosecutor because, as we all know, Daniel Cameron failed us all. He definitely dropped the ball, and he's another person I feel like should lose his job. You lied on national TV and said you presented this case when three jurors came behind you and stated that you never presented that case. And when they asked about it, you shut them down. So here we are now fighting to be able to get a new prosecutor because she was not, you know, given her due process. Like she wasn't given the right chance for
justice. How do you want Brianna remembered?
Brianna had this thing about bringing people together, and that's exactly what she's done for the world. You know, so many people. All different walks of life, black, brown, purple, white, you know, a lot of people who normally would have never stood together and come to agreeance and anything has come together. And so she's always done that for us. So it's amazing how to watch her change.
So
the world.
I know you say you might have a foundation you're working on. What are you doing right now?
Well, yes, we have the Breonna Taylor Foundation. So, of course, we are trying to, we're doing a lot of work mm-hmm. with police reform still because, you know, making sure that these, trying to change the laws because policies change all the time. So we need to change the laws that are not working with us. So we're working with that, but we're also trying to establish a program to work with kids and to work with educating people for the jobs that they want, because not everybody wants to go to college, but there's plenty mm-hmm. of trade jobs that people can get, you know, get it long as they know where to go to get this training and the funding for this training that they're available okay. to.
So where can we access this foundation? How can we get in contact with this foundation?
Well, we have there's a Breonna Taylor Foundation.org. So you can go to the website. We're still working on it and updating it every day. There we have an email, Breonna Taylor Foundation.@gmail.com. So you can also email us and reach out to us that way. But as the days come, I mean, it'll definitely be out there more and more. And we'll be here and ready to work with the community.
So I know I asked you before, the masterpiece song, Say Her Name. What were your thoughts on that song?
Just, you know, it was amazing. Here, another person just willing to use their platform and their voice to say her name and to keep it out there. And it was just an important mm-hmm. statement at that time. You know what I'm saying? Because there was a lot of people who didn't want to hear her name, but everybody needed to know and everybody needed to, you know. So I think that song definitely helped mm-hmm. keep it out there. You know, there's
definitely, so and I am actually going to play the song after this interview.
Shouts out to Master P.
Well, I just want to say we're going to continue to say Breonna Taylor's name. We're going to continue to demand justice for Breonna Taylor, for Breway. We're going to keep on saying her name. We're going to keep on saying Breonna Taylor. And again, my thoughts and prayers for you and your family. I want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You too. Bye-bye.
We lost so many men, now we losing women.
Yeah.
Just trying to shed some light on the veil.
What are we to do when it ain't safe up in our home? Yeah. Fiber down the door, but they only tough when they got that chrome. Yeah. One too many t-shirt, put that pain up in a song. Tailor it up for you, damn Breonna, now you gone. This for all the soldiers and the lost queens. We just tryna bring hope to the real streets. Plotting on the low, watch out for they schemes. We just tryna live, but they just wanna
say her name, say her name, say her name. If you won't change, say her name, say her name. If you feel a pain, say her name, say her name. Breonna Taylor, say her name, Breonna Taylor. We got our hands in the air, and they still kill us. We say we can't breathe, they say they can't feel us. Every person from the ghetto ain't a drug dealer, and every cop with a badge ain't a killer.
What are we to do when it ain't safe up in our home? Yeah. Fiber down the door, but they only tough when they got that chrome. Yeah. One too many t-shirt, put that pain up in a song. Tailor it up for you, damn Breonna, now you gone. This for all the soldiers and the lost queens. We just tryna bring hope to the real streets. Plotting on the low, watch out for they schemes. We just tryna live, but they just want us to bleed.
We only protest, cause we want justice. We out here fighting for our rights, and they still arrest us. Them rubber bullets, man, they really hurt. I'm just tired of seeing people look like me up in the dirt.
What are we to do when it ain't safe up in our home? Fiber down the door, but they only tough when they got that chrome. Yeah. One too many t-shirt, put that pain up in a song. Tailor it up for you, damn Breonna, now you gone. For all the soldiers and the lost queens. We just tryna bring hope to the real streets. Plotting on the low, watch out for they schemes. We just tryna live, but they just wanna
say her name, say her name, say her name. If you won't change, say her name, say her name. If you feel a pain, say her name, say her name. Breonna Taylor, say her name, Breonna Taylor. Yeah, you know Black Lives Matter, man. We losing so many. We'll be right back.
to bad cops. I ain't say all cops are crooked. We just saying no justice, no peace. We stand on what we believe in. Shout out to 2X. Shout out to everybody in Louisville. Shout out to Brianna Taylor family. We stronger together. She brought us together. Now it's equality and unity forever. Say her name.
Thanks for tuning into Sinise Unfiltered podcast with your host, Anthony Sinise. Tune in again for more unfiltered discussions. Love, live life, and remember,